Well, good morning. Yes, thank you. I had that on my list, but my bulletin was covered up. Children, if you're kindergarten through third grade, if you want to go to Children's Church, Mr. Johnny's in the back there, and you can go back there, and he'll escort you out and finish that up. I've been a little scarce this morning. I was not in here before the service or sitting where I normally do. Pam came down with something Thursday, and it hit me yesterday, and So I'm fighting what a lot of other people are fighting with this cough, and so I may be coughing throughout the service, but we'll try. I've got a cough lozenge in right now, so other than Leslie, the rest of you are safe. I don't think it'll shoot much farther than that. So let me do that. Look at this. Yeah, what is that, man? What is it? That's for tonight, so I'm looking. That's great stuff. Good stuff. Couple of things before we get started. I was working yesterday. I really wanted to sleep yesterday, but I was working on a book project, trying to get a book project into the publisher, and worked on it for 12 hours, and finally got it done last night, but I was wore out, not just from that, but from this, what's going on, and I don't know what it is, but that's why I'm not interacting with a lot of people. It's supposedly not contagious. They say it's allergies, but there's a whole lot of people coming down with it or getting it, whatever it is, so we'll do that. But hey, I want to also remind you about the windows. The windows have all been replaced in not this building, but the other buildings. And so we want to remind you that we're about $12,000 still short. And we've paid for them, okay? But for the money coming in specifically for the windows that we'd asked for, we're still about $12,000 short. So don't forget that, even though the windows are in place right now. So let's remember that as we go. Today, you can see I've titled the message, we're in the same series, Live Like You Mean It, and today we're looking at finding my niche in life, and we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, and I'm going to read that first off this morning, and then we'll jump into the message itself. So, why don't you stand with me? I have to suffer, you can suffer too a little bit. Let me read it. Beginning with verse 11, this is what it says there in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father God, we thank you so much for this passage and pray that your Holy Spirit has the freedom to speak to us now as we hear about this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. We each have different talents, different gifts. We've talked about that over the months that I've been here, and we each have different talents and gifts and abilities. And we also have varying personalities, right? You know that. You understand that. We all have different personalities and varying personalities within our church family. You are uniquely made to be someone special. God created you to be someone special. You are uniquely made to be someone special to carry out a particular special work. Did you know that? You're created to complete a special work. That is your purpose in life. Last week, we talked about what am I here for? That was the title. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 2. What am I here for? That's where we find our purpose. That's what we're here for, is to fulfill our purpose, God-given purpose. And the first two verses that we read here this morning really boil down to this. As Christians, you and I, we each have been given different spiritual gifts. And the one and only reason that you and I have been given those gifts is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. That's the only reason you're given. You're not given them for any other reason except to build up, to encourage and to build up and to train up other people in the church, in the body of Christ. And so this means, and this is our first point, that each one of us has been created with our very own niche, our very own sweet spot. You've got a sweet spot. Do you realize that? Somebody said, well, I know so-and-so over there. I don't think he's got a sweet spot. But you've all been created with your very own niche, with your very own sweet spot. What is your niche? Do you know it? What is your niche? Have you found it? Do you know and practice in your niche? Do you serve out of your niche? Do you live in that sweet spot? You see, folks, each one of us has a particular task to fulfill in God's design of this world. And let me assure you this morning that whatever God has for you to do, He will carry you through and equip you to do everything that you need. God will never, ever give you an assignment that you are not capable of doing in His power. You may think, I can't do that. I look at what I do today and I say, I can't do that. It's only in God's power that we can do those things when we find our niche, our sweet spot, and move from there. My niche has not always been in the pulpit, and really I'm not sure that's where it's at today, that it's there even now. But my niche has always been in some form or type of leadership, even years and years and decades before I ever realized it. I served in youth ministry for a few years before I went into education and pastoral ministry. And God blessed those ministries. I look back at my years in the corporate world and jobs that I had there and think of what happened there. And I've at least 20 years before I ever realized that I could be used as a leader. I still really pull back from using that word a lot about myself, of being a leader. See, because I think a lot of people look at the word leader and they think of an authoritarian leader, that person who it's my way or the highway, that iron fist leader, that dictatorial leader. And that's not what true leadership is. As I've studied it and as I've written about it, I'm not an authoritarian. I'm not an overbearing ruler leader. I'm a servant leader. I'm a coaching leader. I want to help bring people. I think that's what true leadership is. It's someone who helps bring up others to reach their full potential. And so that's what I believe that minister, what leadership is and what God has called me into ministry to do. And God has blessed me and He has equipped me. I will admit that. God has blessed me and equipped me to do things and lead in ways that absolutely boggle my mind. I'm just being honest. They absolutely, when I think about what I get to do, what God allows me to do, it actually boggles my mind that my God, the God of the universe, would allow me and equip me to be in those situations and to do those things. Now, I'm not saying that I'm better than the next guy. I'm not. In fact, if anything, just the opposite is what I'm saying. Is I can't believe that I'm able to do some of those things. It's not me, but Christ in me. And what I'm saying is that God has given me a purpose. And I've tried to unearth that purpose and develop that purpose. God has given me a purpose and a passion to fill that purpose. And though my niche may change from time to time, different situations with different churches that I get to work with, God has equipped me with a gift mix that carries over from ministry to ministry. And He's done the same thing for you. God has given you a gift mix that will adapt to whatever it is that He needs you to do at the church you're currently serving in, this church right here. You see, folks, if God has given me or given you, if God has given me any leadership ability, it is not for me. It's not for me to rule or to hold it over someone. It is to build up. It is to guide and to lead others, to bring others. True leadership, I believe, is to lead by doing, to lead by serving, servant leadership. I believe it is how Jesus lived and how He led and how He taught us that way we should lead. And we're all leaders in some part of our life, in some area of our life. My role is to guide and encourage others in God's ways. And you know what? There's not one person in here or not one person listening to my voice that couldn't say the same thing. My role is to help others and to guide and encourage others in God's ways. That's your role. That's what God's called you to do. He's called you to do that. My role, your role, is to help others discover and build on what God has already placed inside them. I said that one of the first weeks I was here. My role is to help you to understand what you've got, what God's already placed inside you, what God has right here in the pews of Central Baptist Church, and then to help us to unearth that and then raise it up and grow it and find out what it is God wants us to do. And as long as I live for Him in fulfilling His purpose for my life, I believe that God will allow me to grow in His ways. And I've seen that happen. And I know that happens. Not only in my life, I've seen it in other people's life. T. Addington writes this. He says, God invites us to live at the intersection of His call on our life. God invites us to live at the intersection of His call and our willingness to embrace His call. So here's His call. He says, I want you to live right here. Will you embrace it? Will you run with me? Will you go with me? That's what God wants us all to do. Now that call, as I said a while ago, may change from time to time to meet God's needs and the needs of the church that you're particularly in at that particular time, in that day, in that hour. But your gift mix is there to carry out the work that God has for you, the work that God designed you for. And we've read about that last week in our passage last week. Folks, unfortunately, what happens too much in the church today is in many churches, vacant positions or empty positions, empty slots are always filled with the first person who will say yes. That's all we do. We just, nominating committee, that's what churches do. We just look for the first person who will say yes, and then we run off to somewhere else. Don't give them any training. Don't give them any inclination. Hey, it's easy. It's just seventh and eighth grade boys. Yeah, right. And then we run off, and we don't check on them for 20 years because we're afraid they'll leave and we'll have to go find somebody else. Unfortunately, what happens when we do this, just try to find the first warm body who will say yes, is what happens is this leads to frustration and ineffectiveness in completing God's work. And it's a mark on the entire church. And it's not because of that person, it's because we did not allow and look for the right person for that spot a lot of times. This is not the way we should be filling God's positions, be filling God's work. As churches, we owe it to God and to the others that God has placed here. We owe it to all the other servants in the church to do better than just fill an empty spot with a warm body. I mean, it makes sense to me to seek out through prayer the persons with the gifts that are needed for that position or for that ministry area. Now, we're truly blessed in this church with people who are willing to serve. And that's a great thing, and we're grateful for that. We're seeing more and more people serving in different areas. People today helping for newer people, helping in different areas here in this service. And I'm grateful for that. But as churches, we owe it to God and other servants to do a better job than just filling those empty slots with warm bodies. Folks, you are here because God desires you to serve in and through this church. That's the only reason you should be here. It's because God's brought you here, and if He's brought you here, He's brought you here to serve in and through this church. Doesn't it make sense to you, and this is our second point, doesn't it make sense to you that we should look at how God has uniquely wired people and then find opportunities for them to serve using their God-given talents and gifts? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, that should be just a no-brainer, right? That's what we should do. It just makes sense that we should do that. We should look for those people in those with those gifts for whatever's needed in that ministry. Do you know how you should find candidates for ministry in this church, in any church, but in Central Baptist Church, you know how you should find candidates for ministry? You look for the men and women who are already doing the work of that ministry. I've said for decades that the best candidate for a deacon is to find a man who's already doing the work of a deacon, though he doesn't have the title of deacon. And I just think that's what we need to do. We need to look for men and women who are already doing the work of whatever that ministry is. Watch for people who are, you know, when children come to them, children want to come to them, people that get down on their level, that's somebody that knows how to work with children. And we need to understand that. Look for people who are gifted already in those areas. You see, no matter what we're looking for in a church, no matter what position we're trying to fill, what ministry we're trying to grow, God has blessed us with someone in this congregation who is uniquely wired to fulfill that spot. But oftentimes we wait for somebody else to do it. I'm going to sit back and wait. I'm not going to take that on. Folks, you are uniquely wired to fill some of those spots on God's team. And once you find your purpose, what am I here for from last week? Once you find your purpose in life, then you narrow that down to your unique wiring so that you find your niche. What is my niche? Where am I supposed to be serving at right now in this church and what this church is trying to do in the community? That's your sweet spot to fulfill your purpose. That's where you find it. Now, there are several people here who have the gift of teaching. But the gift of teaching does not automatically qualify you to teach in just any position that comes open. Because there are some people with the gift of teaching that have a love for our preschoolers and our younger children. There are some other people in here who are gifted for teaching, and you just don't have the personality to work with our kids. It's just that way. You don't have the temperament or the patience to work with those kids. And so your niche is somewhere else, in another area of the church. And just because someone, and I had a church where this actually came true, someone is teaching, let's say someone teaches in the public school and teaches third grade in the public school, that doesn't mean that person's ideal spot here in the church is to teach third grade. It might be teaching women. It might be teaching something else, a different age group. And so we need to help people to find that. We need to help people find their niche in ministry, here in the church and in the community. Finding your niche does require some self-inspection and knowing who you are, knowing a little bit more about digging deep and finding out in God, who are you? Who are you created? How are you created? And you can use, there's instruments out there to help you do that. There's instruments like place and shape. They're all online. You can do those. Or also just asking the right questions to your family and friends and people here in the church. Asking the right questions will help you to find out what is that thing that you're good at. Good way to survey your possibilities. And then another great way is just jump in and do something. Just jump in there and get involved in something, do something. You'll find out pretty quickly whether or not that's your niche. Now, you don't have to make a full commitment. Somebody's talking to you about something for a year, or you hear somebody talking about, you know, you can take this on for a year. You say, can I just work beside you all for 2 months to see if that's really my niche or my sweet spot? Do that, and you'll find out fairly quickly if it is or not. You see, folks, if you go to the beach but you never get in the water, you're not going to get wet. And likewise, if you sit on the sidelines of God's ministry and you never get into the action of God's plan, you'll never know the joy and abundant life that Jesus spoke of. You need to jump in. You need to get in and do something. God has created you and wired you for a particular purpose and a unique role in fulfilling that purpose and carrying on the tradition of leaving a legacy for Him. It's not about you, it's about Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we studied last week, says, for we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time, so that we, you and me, should walk in them. See, folks, you're created by God, and you are wired specifically for your explicit work and purpose. God did that just for you. You are that unique. You are wired, created and wired by God specifically for this. And only you can fill that work. Only you can fill that work. This should make you feel special, because you are special. God's word says you're special. You are special. You're created special. God created you special. A one-of-a-kind special creation of God. Folks, I want you to walk out of here this morning. I want you to walk out of here this morning with a strong desire to understand who you are in Christ and to understand as best you can how God has wired you, where He has given you special ability, and with a burning passion to run towards polishing and shining and developing these special attributes that He's wired you for. You see, oftentimes people tell you to work on your weaknesses. I don't. I tell you, work on your strengths. I want you to work on your strengths. Because you work on your weaknesses, you're just going to get frustrated. If you'll live in God's will, then God will bring other people along that will complement your weaknesses, and you need to work on your strengths, because the more you operate out of your strengths, the more effective you will be. And the more happiness and joy you will experience, that abundant life, and the more you will accomplish for God. You see, folks, finding your niche sometimes means saying no, too. It does. And it is okay to say no sometimes if you're saying no to something that would hinder you from completing God's purpose for your life. But if it's simply, you simply say no because you don't want to do it, or you don't want to get up that early, or you don't want to be here that night, If you simply say no because you're too lazy or you just don't want to do it, then that no is a sin. Jesus even said no to things that would hinder him from accomplishing his Father's business. Sometimes you and I must say no to the good things even, so that we will be certain that we are focused on the God things. It's okay to say no to good things as long as it's helping us to focus on the God things. Also, it's important to realize that when we say yes to something, that is not in our, that we say yes to something that's not in our gift mix. We say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll take that on. I'll take that on. If it's not in our gift mix, what you're doing is you're robbing someone else here in the church from doing what they're gifted to do, what God wants them to do. And we need to be a blessing to others and help others in serving in other areas. I believe that much of the depression and discontent in our churches today, I believe the unhappiness revolve around the fact that many of our people in our churches are serving and working and ministering in areas that are not where their strengths are. I've seen it in churches. I know that it happens in churches. And I'm talking about Christians in our churches, including this one. See, many Christians fail to realize the spiritual dynamic at work here. God made all of us for a purpose. He created you for an individual purpose, a unique purpose. And that is where the abundant life and the heavenly blessings overflow when you join God in those works. There are no insignificant people in God's work. There are no insignificant jobs in God's work. There's just none. There's nothing insignificant about God's jobs or his task. Paul knew this, and he wrote about it in this passage we just read. Paul knew this, and he knew that every person's contribution is important. If we're going to represent Christ to a lost and dying world, every person's contribution is important. If you want people around you to serve using their gifts, the best thing that you can do is encourage them. Not just from the pulpit that we encourage people, but you need to encourage them. You see a young family come in, just encourage them. And you know, I know that it's tough on Sunday mornings to get everybody together, and I know Satan works hard on Sunday mornings, but I really appreciate watching you all come in every week and see you come into our church. It really means something to me. You can be an encouragement to others, and we need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to encourage each other and to encourage those, because encouragement is a powerful gift that God has given us, and it doesn't cost you anything, but it's a power gift that we can give each other. In this passage, Paul is reminding us that no one is a lone ranger. We're all a team. We are to be a team. God created us to work together to accomplish his work, his tasks. And joy comes in us working together. The joy comes in us working together so that we can accomplish more together than we could alone. We all know that we can accomplish more together than any of us alone. And so God called us to be a team, to work together. And he's called us here at this church at this time in ministry for that very reason. In doing ministry together, we complement one another. We complement each other's assets, and we compensate for each other's liabilities or weaknesses. Because some of you have some strengths that are my weaknesses. You cover for my weaknesses, and I would do the same for some of yours. And so that's why we're to work as a team and work together. You are God's team. You're on God's team. You are on God's team. And as you use your gifts in and through the church, through the community, through your work, through school, wherever, in and through, you use your gifts there, you are Christ to those who may only ever see Christ in you. That's the only place I'll ever see it. God's put you in that place, that you may be the only place. You need to be Christ everywhere we go, Christ to the world. God never intended for us, or us as paid ministers, to be the ones, the Christian workers, to accomplish all his work. He intends for every believer, every follower of Christ, to be engaged in the work that he left for us, to equip and to equip us to accomplish God's work. You see, folks, you never, we're searching for a pastor, you never call a pastor to do, or a staff member, you never call a pastor or a staff member to do the ministry. You don't. if that's what you're thinking, we're in the wrong boat, because you never call a pastor or a staff person to do the ministry. This passage tells us that we just read that they are to equip us, to build us up as the body of Christ. You see, if they're called by God, they're going to serve. But you don't call them to do your work, because God said that's yours, that's not his. And so we need to remember that as we call our pastor and other people in the future on staff. God never intended those of us as paid servants to be the only ones working. God's strategy for the church is not for us to build buildings, open the doors, and wait for people to come in. When they do, that's fine. That's good. That's a great thing. But it rarely happens without a personal invitation from a friend or a relative. 76% of people that come into the church say they came in first time they came was because of an invitation from a friend or a relative. God's strategy has always been for his people to go out and to share God's love with the world. His strategy is for us to go and to find and to demonstrate God's grace, God's love, and his caring compassion to a lost world. His strategy is for you to be Jesus to the world, wherever you find yourself every day of the week. Are you intentional? Are you intentional in the way that you demonstrate love and care and compassion to those around you, to those who get you upset, those who anger you or cut you off in traffic? Are you intentional in the way you demonstrate love in all things? You see, folks, it is God's intention that the gospel change the world. That's his plan. And he has given us the charge of being intentional about delivering his message, carrying the gospel with us every day as we live out, as we walk through our daily lives. As if Jesus were right beside us, we're to carry out. If he were right beside us, how would you act? What would you do? What would you say to people? That's how we're to act, how we're to carry out our life every day, every moment of every day. In fact, Jesus' own words, when the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Jesus' own words included, "Your God, your kingdom come, your will be done," where? "On earth as it is in heaven." How's that working in your life right now, church? How's that working? Is God's will being done in your life? Well, I'm cruising through. I'm doing okay. Is God's will being done in your life? God has uniquely wired you to carry out part of his plan. You have a sweet spot. You have a particular niche that he wants you in service for him and with him. You're a starter on his team. He didn't call you on his team to be a bench warmer. You're a starter. Every one of us is a starter on his team. Have you determined what God has uniquely wired you for? Because this is where you'll find your niche. Or are you like many, you're afraid to find your niche? Maybe you're afraid to even go looking for it. Afraid you might find it, and it might not be something you want. Folks, God's going to give you your niche. It's something that you can do, and you can glorify him in doing it. And I'll tell you this, there's no better place to be than living in that sweet spot, living in that God-given niche, doing what he's called you to do at the moment. How are you presently serving? How are you using your special gifting, both among God's people in the church and out in the world, Monday through Saturday? Are you serving in your niche? Where has God pressed upon you this morning? Even as I've been speaking, you've had something run through your mind. I know that. You've had something run through your mind, an area of ministry where you could serve, or maybe just a person's name that came out that you need to be witnessing to or talking to or building a relationship with. Where has God pressed upon you this morning as you listen to this message? What areas has he placed on your mind? Areas that you might be especially wired for, gifted to help do. And then the greater question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it when this service is over? Are you going to sit and soak, stay on the sidelines? Or are you going to act on it and live for his special blessings? The blessings that he has set aside for you to pour out on you and to help you. Live like you mean it. Let's go out and find our niche. We're going to have our hymn of invitation, our hymn of response. I will be down front, but I'm going to be sitting down here. Johnny's going to be here to greet you and welcome you today. Because of this cough and everything, I'm not going to do that. I'm supposedly not contagious, but I'm just not taking any chances. But what is it that God wants you to do? What is it that, what is your next step? What is your first step, your next step you need to do to follow Christ in finding that niche? Make sure you're serving in that niche, that sweet spot. Doesn't matter what your age is, you've got a sweet spot. You know how I know? Because you're still breathing. As long as you're breathing, you've got a sweet spot. God's got a sweet spot for you. Are you serving in that sweet spot? Let's stand and let me pray with us. Father God, I thank you so much for this day, for our time here this morning. I pray that you would be with us and help us in all things, Lord, that we would help to understand our calling on our life, the purpose that you have set aside for us, that we would understand, Lord, what it is that you've done in our lives for us and how you created us and knit us together in our mother's womb even before we were born. You had all these things planned for us to do. Help us to seek out that niche for 2023 and 2024 that we can serve you even greater, that Paris and Bourbon County and Kentucky and beyond can be reached for Christ through your people right here at Central Baptist Church. Father, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, they'd come down, take Johnny by the hand and say, you know, I think I've done something like that, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity. Whatever it is, and if Johnny gets backed up, there'll be others that'll step up to help him. Father, I pray that whatever it is that you're calling us to do, that you would call us right now to be responsive as you want us to be responding to. Father, it may just be that as you've placed something on our minds or on our hearts this morning, as I've spoken or as we sung or as the children sang, you've placed something went by through our minds and said, you know, I need to be doing that, or I could be doing this, or I could check out what this ministry is about. I pray we would be faithful so that we can be fruitful in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You respond as God leads you right now.